Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, is daf Yud. We're holding a Tehillah Mishnah on daf Tet Amud Beit. We're up to the Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis. Meimatai korin et Shema b'Shacharit mishiyakir ben Tchelet Levan. Rebbe Eliezer omer ben Tchelet Lekarti ad Anetzachama. So the shir would be from the time that you're able to see the difference between the color of tchelet and the color white, which the Gemara is going to explain, can't mean that literally, because obviously the difference in reflectivity itself would be enough to be able to tell that difference. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, that the shear is between two similar colors, tchelet, which is close to the range of the color of karti, which is leeks, so that has a greenish-blue tinge, and the tchelet has a bluish-green tinge. Until the time of the Netzach Hama, at that point, everyone is up, basically. Reb Yoshua Omer, Ad Shalosh Sha'ot, Shekein Derech Melechim La'amod B'Shalosh Sha'ot. Obviously, in the Gemara, we're going to be going through each one of these shiurim to understand where it comes from and what the differences are between them. So according to Reb Yoshua, since we're talking about Uvku Mecha, that is the time that people get up, there are still people who are getting up even at Shalosh Sha'ot, such as royal families. Today, of course, every child is a prince, and if not a king, and therefore everybody gets up at Shalosh Sha'ot. HaKore Mikan Ve'elech Lo Yifsid Kadam HaKore BaTorah. Now, reading Kriyat Shema afterwards doesn't mean that you've lost out entirely, because at least you're reading the Torah. Now, this is a little bit confusing. I mean, what do you mean you haven't lost? You can always learn Torah, but reading Kriyat Shema is a separate mitzvah. So if you're telling me Lo Yifsid, what would it have to do with the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema? Again, we're getting into this strange penumbra of the interrelationship between Limud HaTorah itself and the nature of Kriyat Shema, that we've seen that you yotzei Limud HaTorah yom v'layla with Kriyat Shema. And here we're doing the same thing. We're saying at least you get the koyach of the Kriyas HaTorah of the Kriyat Shema to be considered later. Okay, ask the Gemara, what does the Mishnah even mean when it says to tell the difference between white and blue, or treles? I mean, what could that mean? You mean between an entire roll of wool that has been dyed? I mean, you could see that in the middle of the night? I mean, that just shouts out because of different reflection. It can't mean that. It must mean that you went ahead and you dyed a lot of wool. Now, the dye always is a little bit uneven. So there's places that there's a little bit more oil on the wool and so on. The dye doesn't get taken up properly. There's always going to be spots that are not quite as blue and that are more white because there is very little dye that went up in them. That's what you got to be able to see, the difference between the tchelet in that same givava and the white in the givava. Tanya Rebbe Meir Omer, Mishi Akir Ben Ze'ev Lekelev. The shir is to be able to tell the difference between a dog and a wolf, which according to Rishami is the same shir. It's just different ways of saying it. Rebbe Akiva Omer, Ben Chamor La'arod, between a wild chamor, the arod, and the chamor. Akhir Momri Mishiret Chavero Richuk Berichuk Arba Amot V'yakirena. When you see someone that you know, not someone that is your close friend, but someone that you know at a distance of four amos, and you would recognize him, that is a time that people feel comfortable in going outside and beginning their day. But at a point where it's still so dark that your eye can't differentiate these things that are part of what you would normally bump into, people don't feel that it's daylight yet. And therefore, it's not really considered to be the zman of kima, even though it may be technically after the Alot HaShachar. Om Ravuna, we paskin like the Acherim. Om Rabbaya, not so fast. We paskin when it comes to putting on tefillin like the Acherim, because look, you're not supposed to read Kriyat Shema without tefillin, because later on we'll see it's considered to be Me'id Edut Sheker Al Atzmo. After all, it says the mitzvah of tefillin in the Kriyat Shema. So here you're reading Kriyat Shema without tefillin? That must mean that there's time to put on your tefillin before the time of Kriyat Shema. That's the point. So halachas kacherim, says Abaye, that's when you should put on your tefillin. But the Kriyat Shema, you shouldn't say that early. Actually, It's better to put off Kriyat Shema in order to daven Kevatikin. Because if you keep the mitzvah Kevatikin, and Vatikin mean people that are especially makbid, are very committed to doing a mitzvah properly, and they're careful that everything should work out properly. So Rabbi Yochanan points out that Vatikin o yugomrimo ta'im ha'netzach hama. The best possible way to do things is that when you say Kriyat Shema, you should complete the Birchos Kriyat Shema, which of course end with Ga'al Yisrael, which is Ge'ula. Ge'ula should lead directly into Tefillah. Now we've already seen the tremendous interrelationship in this parak between the nature of Ge'ula, Dovin HaMelech, Binyan Beis HaMikdash, Mishkanot Yaakov, and the inyan of Kriyat Shema itself. And therefore, this is meant to be a smooth transition. You read Kriyat Shema, that is your essential emunah. That emunah is meant to lead to Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, which is L'kol Olam Kulo. That's Beit Tvila L'chol Ha'amim. That's Ge'ula, that's Binyan Beis HaMikdash. At the conclusion of the brachas after Kriyat Shema, you're then able to be mispalel, and that's the reason that in the pasuk, Hashem Sfatai Tiftach, it comes immediately after the mention of Hashem Tzuri V'Goali. Talk about Hashem Tzuri V'Goali, then you have Yancha Hashem B'Yom Tzara, that Yancha, that is the Tefillah. That's how the Marshal understands it. It's clear from the Sugya in various places that this is true. So the idea, therefore, would be plan out your Kriyat Shema. Say the Kriyat Shema in such a way that you complete the bracha of Ga'al Yisrael right at the Netzach Hama. Tanya Namiachi, Vatikino Yugomrim Ota Ima Netzach Hama, for that purpose. Kideshi Yismoch, Gula L'Tvila, and Nimtza Mitpalel B'Yom, you're supposed to daven in the day, as we'll see. So as the sun bursts out into your vision, your Tvila bursts out after having prepared the Gula beforehand. Omer Rebbe Zera, where do we see this in the pasuk? Yira'ucha im shemesh. And actually, the yira of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should come with the sunrise. And that's when you're standing in front of the Shechina. Dalif le'niyata omeid, v'lifnei yareach, and right before the moon comes up, which is the time for Tvilas Mincha, that goes throughout all generations, Dor Dorim. Heid Rebbe Yeshua ben Oyokim, Mishum Kihila Kadisha Shebi Yerushalayim. There was also a beautiful Eidus that was said. This was said in the name of the special Kihila Kadisha in Yerushalayim, that there's actually information as to who this refers to. The Goenim give over the names of that particular Kihila Kadisha Shebi Yerushalayim. It's not just a general thing. So they said in their name that kol ha'semech geula l'tefila inoniza kol yom kula, that if you're zoche to actually being able to put those two things together at the moment of the Netzach Hama, then yancha Hashem b'yom tzara is a guarantee, and you don't have to worry about any ra on that day. Omer Rebbe Zera, that can't be true. I can tell you from personal experience, I did this, and boy did I get into trouble that day. Maybe it's better not to be Samech Geula Tefila, actually, because I did it, and itazaki. Bah, says Rabbi Zera, you're so confused. I know exactly what happened to you that day, and that's you who's defining that as Nezek. That wasn't Nezek. You should have paid to get that Nezek, you lucky duck. What happened was to you is that on that day, they caught you and made you be the one who brings Hadassim into the palace of the Melech. Right? And that cost you a ton of money, took up half of your day, so you're calling that nezek, okay? So b'mayitazak, damtiat asalavei malka, that you had to pay all that money to get all of those beautiful hadassim to decorate the palace. You should have paid money to have that tzchutz. Hasamnami miboyelach lameyav agra, you should have been paying lamechazei ape malka to get the tzchutz of being able to see the face of a king. The Yomar Rabbi Yochanan, lo'olam yishtadel adam larutz likrat malchei Yisrael, it's a tremendous schus to have a sense of what Malchus is. You don't have that sense, and therefore you cannot fully relate to Malchus Shamayim. So if you're zeicher to see the Pnei of a Melech Yisroel, which has in it, of course, as we've been talking throughout the parak, elements of Geula ipso facto, because it's Yisroel's power on the earth, which is an expression of Hashem Elokeinu. But even if you only have an opportunity to see a melech of an akum, you should run to see such a thing. Why? Because im yizkeh, if you'll be zoche to see Yemos HaMashiach, you'll see the incredible difference. Yavchin ben Malcha Yisrael la Malcha Yavde Kochovim. You'll be able to know the difference between what real melucha is and what the ersatz melucha of the lesser sense of memshola. So you should have paid. That's not called nezek. By the way, my father Zatzal told me that when he was a kid, they had the visit of Haile Selassie, who went to address the UN, and the entire city, all of the Jews in the city, mamish ran to be along the route where Haile Selassie was traveling, because they never had an opportunity to be rots likrat malchayaku. And Haile Selassie was empowered to kill by the word of his mouth. Get rid of this guy, get rid of this guy. So had mamish a din of a melech. And everybody went and ran to be able to be b'kayim this gemara. Ormalei Rabbi Laila Ula, ki ayaltalas, and when you get up to Eretz Yisrael, make sure that you make a big fuss in front of the whole chabura. You ask, I need to see the great Rav Bruna. That's my brother. I'm telling you that he's an Adam Gadol. And he's a type of person that has simcha for doing a mitzvah. I can tell you that once he was zeicha to really be semech gula the tefillah with his full understanding at the exact moment, he couldn't stop smiling the whole day. That's how happy he was. Wait a minute. There is no way to be semech gula the tefillah. Because before you say the tefillah, you have to say Hashem svatai tiftach. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan betchila Omer Hashem svatai tiftach. Ulabasofu Omer yila ratzonim refi. So that means there's always that one sentence interruption. He says Rabbi Lazar, you know what? Rabbi Yochanan must have been referring to Myriv, because Myriv, you don't have this mitzvah of smichas gula latvila. Excuse me? According to Rabbi Yochanan, you do have it, even in Myriv. Vom Rabbi Yochanan, ezo ben olam abaza, asome gula shel arvit, latvila shel arvit davka, there is a special mitzvah in the nighttime. Ooh. Okay, you know what? So maybe it's only mincha. That's what it is. So when Rabbi Yochanan said to say Hashem svatai tiftach, he meant that you do that in the tefillah samincha, not in shachris and not in Myriv. Rav Ashi says, come on, I mean, that's a little bit far-fetched, don't you think? Afilu teimakulu. Obviously, he means that that's a standard beginning to the tefillah of Shemoneh Esrei. The reason that it's not an interruption to your tefillah, between tefillah and geula, is because kivan dekavu rabbanan betefillah, like we saw before, once the rabbanan said, this constitutes tefillah, the recognition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who allows you to be mispala, that makes it part of the tefillah. And it's ketvila arich tadami. You have to say that because, look, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say that at night you're also supposed to be masmeh gula latvila? Well, that's totally impossible. Forget about the one line, Hashem svatai tiftach. At night, between the mitzvah, Baruch Atah Hashem, Ga'al Yisrael, you have the whole bruch of Hashkivenu. So how can you possibly, Ella, obviously, Rabbi Yochanan holds that kivan detikur abona, the bruch of Hashkivenu, that is considered to be an extension of the concept of geula. So that's geula richtadamya. So in the other direction also, if the Rabbanu were betakena a sentence to say Hashem svatai tiftach before tefillah, that would be ketvila richtadamya. So it works in both directions. By the way, it's clear to that. Because what do we say at the end of Hashkivenu on Shabbos? Aporei sukat shalom alinu and al Yerushalayim. So then that means that we relate to Hashkivenu anyway as the chelek of Geula and the Knesset to Yerushalayim, right? Says the Gemara, now wait a second. Why did we choose Yilu Ratzon Imrefi at the end? And Hashem Svatai Tiftach is the only thing we say at the beginning. The words Yilu Ratzon Imrefi could be referring to Ribbono Shel Olam, what I am about to say shall be find favor in your eyes. Could be just as much to say it up front as it is to say it at the end. So it's mashma both miyikara, what I want to say, and it's mashma lo besof. My time at taknua rabbona li achar shemoneh esrei brachot. Why is it at the end? Say it in the beginning. And by the way, in the Yerushalmi, it says you're supposed to say it in the beginning, together with Hashem svatai tiftach. So that there are two things that you say before. Om Rabbi Yudah Berei, the Rabbi Shimon Mempazi. Look, David HaMelech said those words, Yula Ratzonim Refi, after 18 parshias of Tehillim. Because of that, the Rabbanan were metaken to say it after 18 brochas. Because those 18 steps that David HaMelech saw in the beginning of Tehillim are connected the 18 steps that we take in the brachas of Shmoneh Esrei. 18? That's not 18. That's the end of 19 Tehillim. Well, by the way, of course, it's at the end of 19 brachas today, right? Because we ended up with the additional bracha of Birchas Aminim. So actually, there's a little bit of elasticity. We've got some play over here. Because obviously, there is a way of recognizing that if you understand that extra step of Birchas Aminim, then you understand the extra step in which you could split the first of the Tehillim, which was really originally Tehillah Aleph and Tehillah Bay together, so that there were really only 18. Because Ashrei Ha'ish V'Lomer Rakshu Goyim, which we have now as Tehillah Aleph and Tehillah Beit, are actually one wrong Tehillah. The Amr of Yerubarei Rav Shimon ben Pazi. David HaMelech said 103 Parshios of Tehillim and never said the word Halleluka, which is amazing because we relate Halleluka to like, whoa, like that's the big word in Tehillim, right? He never said that word, can you imagine? Until he finished 103 parshas. Why? Because he first had to see the Mapalatan Shal Rishayim. He had to see the destruction of Rishayim. Shenema, Yitamu Chatoyim in Haaretz Rishayim Od Einam, Borchi Nafshi Et Hashem, Halleluka. But that isn't true, because that's really Tehillah Kuf Dalet, is Borchi Nafshi. Not Kuf Gimel. So why do you say 103? You see from here that indeed one of the Tehillim was broken up into two. And that's Ashrei Ha'ish V'Lomer Rak Shu Goyim. Those two things which we saw before related to the Inyan of the Milchemes Gog u'Magog, which is Geula. Those were Chodeh Parshei initially. And therefore we refer to Borchi Nafshi as Tehillah Kuf Gimel, not Kuf Dalet. Which, by the way, we don't recognize the meaning of this thing. And I ask you to think about it because it is so profound. To say that David HaMelech could not say Halleluka, you know what that means? It means that your entire vision of the nature of reality precludes your ability to say Halleluka and to really recognize how wonderful the world is until you get clear in your head that all of the filth and all of the darkness and all of the evil and all of the people that you wish weren't around will in fact disappear one day, and that it will be a good world, and it can be a good world. But until he saw that, and he foresaw Mapalatan Shel Rishayim, he literally could not bring himself to feel the joy of what it is to be in a complete position of being Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you walk outside and you become part of a society whose vision of entertainment is to see these dystopian, horrific horrors of movies and thoughts and issues and the murders and then even the news and all the horrifying things that people love to see. Horror movies. Horror in terms of the depths of their evil. You think that it doesn't affect you, but you're completely wrong. To be a part of such a world makes it impossible to be Meshabeach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's essential to keep that out of your mind and never to allow it to penetrate. There's only one thing that I ever told my kids I don't want them to read. I allowed them to expose themselves to everything, but not to horror. Even though they thought it was just entertainment. It is an entertainment. It's an exposure of the evil that's under the surface in the world that you live in, and you no longer trust the nature of reality. So I'll prove to you that the first two parshas are really one parsha. Because Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni said that Rabbi Yochanan pointed out that every parsha that David HaMelech felt really deeply about, he always started with the word Ashrei, and he ended with the word Ashrei. So we see, Patach Ba'Ashrei, that's the beginning, Tehillah Aleph, Ashrei Ha'ish. And he was Mesayim Ba'Ashrei, because the last word of the first Tehillah is Ashrei Kol Chosebo, but that's not really true. Ashrei Kol Chosebo is the end of the second Tehillah. Obviously, Rabbi Yochanan had a Tehillim that had those first two as being one, and that was Keneged the time before we added the Birchas Aminim, which is Keneged Mapalatan Shel Rishayim. V'lamal Shanim Al Tiyi Tikva, V'chol Arisha Kerega Tovei. So that means that this entire sugya is wrapped up in the same insight. And in fact, Hanibra Yuni Davi B'Shvavuta De Rabbi Meir, there were these juvenile delinquents in Rabbi Meir's neighborhood. And they would make him tzores, just to see them. It just ruined his life. Abimekitzare le tuva. So Rabbi Meir would daven for them, rachamim, that they should all drop dead. So Bruria, his wife, said to him, why are you praying that they should die? It must be because of that pasuk. But notice that it doesn't say yitamu chotim. It doesn't say let sinners all drop dead. It says get rid of all the chatoim. Right? Miktiv chotim chataim ktiva. And look at the end of the pasuk. Rishaim odeinam. Kiva diyitamu chataim. Rishaim odeinam. What, you're telling me that because you get rid of all of these guys, there's never going to be any rishaim? It's ridiculous. It's not true. Ela, the point is get rid of chatoim, get rid of evil. Boy, rachmi alui de lahedre b'tshuva. Be mispalled that they should do teshuva, and then by definition, there shouldn't be any more yetzahara, rishayim odeinam. So indeed, Rabbi Meir was mispalled that they should do teshuva, and they did. Omalohu mino lebruria. Amin. One said, don't think that Bruria is a softie just because she says, you know, these nice warm things. Oh, no. So amin one said to Bruria, it says in the pasuk, Rani akara lo yalada. What do you mean? Yerushalayim that has never given birth, or because of that, she should sing. Why should she sing? So this, of course, is a Christian. I mean, as a Christian making fun of Yerushalayim. Amralesh, as you said, just idiot. Shatya. Shvila save the crowd. Look at the end of the pasuk. It says, Ki rabim b'nei shomimah b'nei bu'ula. There's more children that come from the desolate Yerushalayim at the end of the Golas than were there even when it was amazing. And certainly more than the bu'ula, which is the city of Rome. So therefore, why does it say Rani Akarelo Yalada? It's to tell me the difference between Klal Yisrael and people like you. Rani Knesset Yisrael. Knesset Yisrael is like a woman who is barren, who never had such horrible children like you, who are all meant to go to hell. We don't have any children to go to hell. That's what it said. Omale Aumina Rabbi Abahu. Steve, why does it say Mizmor le David Beborchom Ibnei Avshalom Beno? And then later on it says, Le David Michtam Beborcho Mipnei Shaul Bimara. Which one came first? His running away from Shaul or his running away from Avshalom? And obviously, first he was running away from Shaul before he even got settled to have a child, Avshalom. So then why isn't that written first? Lichto Bereisha. Omar Leis, Rabbi Abu said to him, yeah, that's because you guys don't know how to learn. To you, it's all a question of chronology. That's what's important to us. It's a question of structure. To you makes no sense because you don't understand why things are meant to be next to each other. But we've got no problem whatsoever. It's because the Amar Rabbi Yochanan, how do we know smuchim in Atayra? Shenema smuchim la'ad la'olam. Asriyim be'emet v'yashar. The psukim are meant to be joined from the highest madrega of eternity. We said before, because people tend to deny the possibility of a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is Gog u'Magog. Klum yesh evet shemorei b'rabo. You tell him, and what about the nature of human relationships? Klum yesh ben shemorei b'aviv. So you'd say such a thing can't possibly happen, but it did happen, didn't it? It happened with Avshalom. Ochanami havi. Omer yochon mishum rabbi shimer bar yochai. What is the meaning of Piya Patcha B'chochma Mitorat Chesed Alishar? Now, who, in fact, was Shlomo HaMelech referring to in this pasuk? He was talking about somebody is not muted. Yaakov, mute. So what it's Keneged is, Keneged Miomar Shlomo Mikrazeh Lo Omro Ela Keneged David Aviv. From now on, please set your settings to come into the shir muted. This way, this kind of thing doesn't happen. Lo omro ela keneged David avi, because David had such a sense of the chasdei Hashem that David HaMelech he recognized five different realities in which he lived, and he sang about each one of them. Shedar b'chamisha olamot, and he said shira about each one of them. Dar b'me'imo, the first world that he lived in, was as an embryo in his mother. Kravai is a reference to the kravayim, the inside of his mother's womb. He again came out of his mother's womb, became aware of kochavim umazalot, and he saw that he's in a world of constellations and stars. Gibori Koach, Jose Devaro, Mishmoa Bekol Devaro, Borcho Hashem Kol Tzva, of all of the Tzvaot of the world. Then the third world that he lived in was when he began to nurse from his mother's breasts. Yanak Mishdeimo. He looked at her breasts and he started to sing. Shinemar Borch Inavshi Et Hashem, Va'al Tishkechi Kol Gemulav. Gemulav is sustenance. What is that? Kol Gemulav? First of all, says Rabbi Avu, that breasts are keneged the heart, and therefore asala dadim b'mokom bina, that a child should actually nurse his physical sustenance keneged his mother's beating heart and her sense of love and care, that he saw as being an incredible special chesed. And why indeed is there an opposite reason? Taima mai om revi k'dei shelo yistakel b'mokom erva, Rabbi Matamar k'dei shelo yinak b'mokom hatinofet, as opposed to other mammals where it's the udder is close to areas that are not clean, the human nurses from breasts that are up against the most beautiful part of the body. The fourth world that he saw was the Mapalatam Shel Reshaim, that ultimately Yitamu Chatoim in Aretz Reshaim Adinam, Borchin Avshi Es Hashem Aleluka. The fifth of the world that he saw, all of this, of course, Betoch Olam Hazeh, Nistakel B'yom Amita, he saw the day of his death, and he said Shira for that day. Shenemar Borchi Nafshi Es Hashem, Hashem Elokai Gadalta Maod Hod Vahadar Lavashta. How do you know that that's a reference to Yom Amita? Says Rabbi Barav Shila, because take a look at the end. Tastir Panecha Yibahelu Tosef Rucham Yigvaun. You hide your face and you Yigvaun means they drop dead, they perish. Rav Shimi Barukva Marmele Marukva used to be always come in front of Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, and he was Misadra Agadatah Kamed Rabbi Yeshua Ben Levi. Rabbi Ben Pazi, he was someone who would say over all of the Agadatas in front of Rabbi Yehoshua Ben Levi. So Rabbi Shimi Barukva once said to Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, "My dechti borchi nafshet Hashem v'chol kravayet shem kacho." So at this point, we thought that the question was, "What is kravay?" So he answered him, "Borei shok midas hakadosh baruch hu midas basav adam midas basav adam tzar tzra agabe hakotel kol kravai is a ref." Now it turns out that isn't what he wanted to know, but he thought that's what he wanted to know. So kol kravai, he said, "Look, everything in this world has layer upon layer upon layer, right? You as a human, you see things from the outside, so you think you're a beautiful artist because you're Picasso. That's all two dimensional, man. It's just references to dimensions that are unseen." But you take a look at yourself and look at the levels of the dimensionality in which everything inside has got layer upon layer of cells that perform different ideas and organs. That it's insane. So take a look at the difference. A human being, you make yourself a gorgeous, beautiful thing. Are you able to put into it ruach, neshama, kravayim, b'nei me'ayim? What do you get? Everything is external. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Inokein. He makes the most incredible multidimensional tzuras. Tzar tzura betoch tzura. And it's a child is growing in its mother. And each one of them has multiple layers. Matruba ruach neshama kravayim b'nei me'ayim. And that's why Chana says, Ein kadosh kashem ki ein biltecha ve'ein tzur keloheinu. What do you mean, ein tzur keloheinu? Ein sayar keloheinu. There's never been a Picasso like God, let me tell you. Mikey, ein biltecha. Ein biltecha, there's nothing but you, is also a reference to ein levalotecha. Again, to contrast a human to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, midas basav adam. He engages in creativity like Picasso that is meant to outlive him. And this is a desperate expression of his own attempt to cheat mortality. Masha'ein ken you, the ultimate Picasso, asher ein tzayar kamocha, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Midas bas v'dam ma'isi yadav mevalim ato, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu obviously is mevalim ha'asav, and therefore his creativity is of a completely different source of sharing and of giving, exactly the opposite of Picasso. Omar Leh, so Rav Shimon Marukva, maybe Marukva, said to Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, that's not what I was asking, it's very nice, I mean, I like the word, but I'll tell you what I was really asking. I wanted to know, what are the five Borchi Nafshis? What is the Borchi Nafshi? In what sense is the Nefesh? What was he referring to, Nefesh particularly? Oh, that. Said Rav Shimon Ben Pazi, that he was referring to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Neshama. So here again, we get to the most profound statement that we've had so far about the incredible interrelationship of the nature of Emunah as an internal reality And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence in the world, yes, we spoke about HaKadosh Baruch Hu wearing tefillin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is being mispala about the way in which everything that we see is a creation of our own perception of a reality that defines Maaseh Bereishis. But the most astonishing thing of all is the way that our own existence ends up paralleling the presence of Hashem in the world. Because then if you take a look at your own internal neshama and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they are mamash the same. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu malei kol olam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have a particular place. The neshama also doesn't have a place. It fills you. It's melayat kol haguf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a level of ra'iyah but can't be seen. The neshama sees and you sense that existence from inside but can't be seen. Just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of life that gives life to everything. The neshama is zanat kol haguf. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely tahor and unaffected by any of the filth around it. The neshama is tahira. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yoshev b'chadrei chadarim, deeply inside, level upon level, so too is the neshama yoshevet b'chadrei chadarim. Therefore, what David HaMelech meant to say is, yavo mishi yesh bo chamisha dvorim alalu, my neshama, that has those madregas, that's what should come to be mishabeach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'mishi yesh bo chamisha dvarim halalu, because it's the one profound sense of mutuality that it's possible to really be mishabeach. Omer of Amnuna, when it says, mi ke'ach hacham, umi odea pesher davar. So who is wise that knows how to make compromises? Pesher, obviously, on the simple meaning is explanations. But pesher has this double meaning because it also means compromising. So who is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who knows how to make a compromise between two great tzaddikim, between Chizkiyo HaMelech and between Yishayo? Chizkiyo said, I think that Yishayo HaNovi has to come to me because, after all, we find that Eliyahu was told, Mamish has to go to Achav. And we find that Achav, I mean, the big Russia, and Eliyahu went to Achav, and Hashem wanted him to go there. Which means that the cover to a melech demands that the Navi come to him. Yishayo says, no, actually, Chizkiyo ought to come to me, because we find that Yehoram ben Achav went to see Elisha. He didn't call Elisha to come to him, so apparently you have to be more mechabed a Navi. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? He brought Yisurin on Chizkiyo, and he told Yishayo, go visit in order to be mevaker chayla. Lechu vakeret hachole shenema, bayomim ha'im chala Chizkiyo lamut, ויבוא אליו ישעיהו בן אמוץ הנביא ויאמר אליו כה אמר השם צב לביתך כי מת אתה ולא תחיה. You are dead. What do you mean? You are dead and you will not live? I mean, that's pretty standard. If you're dead, then you're not alive, right? No, it's מת אתה בעולם הזה ולא תחיה לעולם הבא. You're not going to live. חזקיהו says, hey, buddy, cool it. My cool it, hi. Like, what's going on? Says ישעיהו to him, you refuse to have children because he foresaw that he was going to have this tremendous Rishayim and Menashe was going to be his son, and he didn't want to be Isaac and Piri of Arivia. So Chizkiyahu said to him, that's because I knew with Ruach HaKadosh the type of children that I was going to have. It's better not to have children. Omar Le said Yeshayahu to him, what? It's your business to define the future? You have a job to do in life. It's not your business to know where that job ends up. This is not your business. This is what's hidden. You have a mitzvah. Do your mitzvah. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do in terms of the history and what comes from your mitzvah, that's another issue entirely. So Chizkiyahu said to him, okay, I'll tell you what. Give me your daughter to marry. Maybe the schus of both of us together will help the children to be okay. Said Yeshayahu, forget it. You're dead. I told you, you're dead. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told me you're dead. Said Chizkiyahu, okay, listen here, Mr. Ben Amotz, get the hell out of here, please. Kalei nevuatcha, finish telling me what you got to tell me. I understand you have a job to do. Now shut up and leave. Kalei nevuatcha vitzei. I have a Kabbalah from the Beis HaMalchus, and that is Mekublani mi Beit Avi Abba. I know this from David HaMelech. Afilu cherev chodemunachat atzavaro shel adam. It doesn't matter if everything is over and the sword is resting on his neck about to slice al yimnatz momen arachamim. It's definitely never hopeless. Itmar nami reb yochan reb elazar dam retarvayu afilu cherev chodemunachat atzavaro shel adam al yimnatz momen arachamim. You never know. It's always hopeful. Shenemar hein yiktaleni, even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is killing me. Lo ayachel, all of my hope is to him, and therefore I am sure that there's hope. Amar Rav Chanan, afilu ba'al ha'chalomot omer lo la'adam l'machar hu meit. Even if a person has a dream that he's about to die, tomorrow you will die. By the way, there's a Kabbalah that if somebody has a dream that is an immediate dream, then he has to pay attention to it. Al yimnatz momen arachamim, shenema ki barov chalamot v'havalim v'dvarim arbe, ki havali et ha'elokim yore. It doesn't matter, all of the dreams, all the prophecies, all the words, the important thing is only to be yore Hashem. Anyway, what did Chizkiyahu do? The next pasuk says, miyad v'yasev Chizkiyahu panav al hakir v'yitpalel al Hashem. He turned his face to the wall and he davened. What do you mean the wall? What wall? Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, it means to the chambers of his own heart. He prayed from the depths of his heart. Mikirot libo. Shenemar, may I, my very insides, O Chila, kirot libi. He says, he speaks about his insides, speaks about the chambers of his heart, not to be domim. Rabbi Levi Omer, he was talking about Izkeikir. He was talking about a particular wall. The Isha Shunamit made a little wall. Kir achat ktana, she made for Elisha. And you, after her son died, you brought her son back to life. So my father's father was Shlomo HaMelech. He covered the entire Heichal of the Beis HaMikdash to make you, forget about a wall, an unbelievable building. Al achat kama v'kama, you should certainly save his son, and that's me. Remember how I walked in front of you in truth, and I did that which was good. What that which is good in your eyes? What was that? But his entire story that leads from the nature of tefila, and that in the depth of the most powerful tefila that he had to say in his entire life, that would change him from dying to living, was the smicha of gula de tefila, so that was atov beinecha, for which he deserves to live. Rabbi Levi Omar, one of the things that he did, that he's referring to, that got everybody angry at him, was sheganav sefer refuot. And indeed, Tana Rabbanan, there were six things that Chizkiyahu HaMelech did that were absolutely mind-boggling and that people were ready to kill him for. Three of them, the Chachomim were made to, and three of them they were not made to, and they held he was wrong. The three that they were made to is that there was a book of refuot that he hid, and they were made that he did the right thing. That is a classic Rambam, in which, so Rashi's pshat and pshat of the Rishonim is that people had this Kabbalah about how to cure anything. So if somebody had cancer, leukemia, whatever it is that he had, opens up the Sefer Refuot, gives him all of the secrets that medical science has to work thousands of years on. But because of that, nobody was being derish HaKadosh Baruch Hu when they got sick, and therefore sickness no longer played a role in making people do tshuva. So Chizkiyahu HaMelech decided that he would hide that book, and therefore people would turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rambam goes to town about how anybody could be so stupid. Can you imagine, says the Rambam, that some people actually say that developments in knowledge should be hidden so that you should be primitive enough to be able to turn to God. Is that insane or is that not insane? Classic Rambam, right? So discover a cure for cancer, but don't tell anybody because then they won't go to God. When you realize that, it actually strikes you as being, what? That really is crazy. So the Rambam understands the Sefer HaRefuot was a book that was full of all kinds of Avodah Zarah and superstitions, and that he went ahead and that he hid, in order to save people from that. The other incredibly audacious thing that he did is that he ground up the Nachash HaNechoshes that Moshe Rabbeinu had made. And they said he was right. And the other audacious thing that he did is that when Ochaz, his father, died, he dragged around his body on this piece of junk on a bed of ropes in order to show that his father was an Eved Avodah Zarah and didn't deserve honor. And also, it says also that he wanted him to have a kapora. And they were made up to that, even though it was horrible. But there were three things they said he was wrong. He stopped up. I see Reb Barnea is ready to respond over here. He closed up the waters of the Gihon in Barnea's neighborhood, and he wanted to make sure that the enemies would not be able to get water outside of Yerushalayim. So he sealed.
I'm going to drive by it. I'm going to drive right by.
Thank you, thank you. You'll show us on the spot Barnea's neighborhood. And they were not made it to that. We brought in, that's the famous tunnel that Chizkiyo dug, which you can get into today. He cut off the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, which were so valuable, he sent them to the king of Ashur as tribute, and he made Nisan into Adar Sheni, and he was Ma'aber Nisan when it was already Nisan, and that they said, that's terrible, they were not made of. What do you mean? How could you have done such a thing? It says, the next month Nisan. No, there was a very, very subtle mistake that he made. And he actually, his mistake was that he didn't agree to Shmuel. That Shmuel says you cannot be Ma'aber the month during the 30th day of Adar, even though it's still Adar, because since the 30th day of Adar could have been the first day of Nisan, it's too late to be Koveya that the next day is Nisan. So, V'ra'uy L'Kovo L'Nisan. And Chizkiyo held. What? That is not a svara, and therefore he took that last step to make it actually Nisan, even though it was still Adar. In other words, he made the next month Adar Sheni, which meant that he pushed off Nisan by a month. The reason he did that is that everybody was tummy, and he wanted them to have a chance to be able to bring the Korban Pesach. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishur Rabbi Yossi ben Zimra. Kol hatole b'zchut atzmo, tolin lo b'zchut acherim. V'chol hatole b'zchut acherim, tolin lo b'zchut atzmo. Look at the difference. Moshe, when he prayed after the Maisa Ego, he didn't talk about his own madrega. He talked about Avram, Yitzchak, Yisrael, Avadecha. Because of that, tolin lo b'zchut atzmo. Shenemar v'yomer lahashmidein, lulei Moshe b'chiro amad b'peretz nefanav lashiv chamatom miyashchit. So the Novi ascribes the Hatzol of Yisrael to Moshe, because Moshe did not ascribe it to himself. Masha Inkin Chizkiyahu, who was Tole B'Zchut Atzmo, that he said, Zechor na tashereit alachti lufanecha, tatov beinecha asiti. Bad news to say that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tolulo B'Zchut Acherim, Shenemar, V'ganoti ala yirazot lo shia, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The end says, yes, I will save Yerushalayim, but I will save it lema'ani ulema'an David Avdi, not for you, buddy. V'haynu Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Yom Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Why does it say in the Tefillah of Chizkiyo HaMelech after the Hatzolah? So he writes this beautiful letter to Yeshayahu, and he says, Hine l'shalom mar li'mar. That means, afil b'sha'ah, sheshiger lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu shalom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him it's going to be okay. It was very bitter to me, because it was a direct rejection of my appeal to how wonderful I am. Remember that he mentioned the Aliyat Kir Ktana, and he said, well, if this woman made for Elisha just an Aliyat Kir Ktana, my father, my grandfather made the Beis HaMikdash, what exactly is an Aliyat Kir Ktana? Rav Shmo, Chadamar Aliyah Prua Hayta V'Kirua, V'Chadamar Chsara Gedola Hayta V'Chukua L'Shnayim. One says that the Lashon of Aliyat Kir is an Aliyah, so it was a second story. It's like a porch on the second story that didn't have a roof. She put a roof over it, and that turned it into an extra room in the house where Elisha would be able to stay. The other learns that it's talking about a ground floor long porch that was covered, and she put a wall down the middle. Now, obviously, the Lashon of Aliyah is weird according to one pshat, and the Lashon of Kir is weird according to the other pshat. So let's take a look at that. So, so if you're going to tell me Achsadra, that explains why it says a wall, because she split the porch into two. But according to the Bandi Omer, it was an open second story. Why did he use the word wall? Where did she put up a wall? No, no, wall, that's only one meaning of the letter kir. How do you say a roof? Tikra, right? That's based on the word kir, kufresh. So lekarod is to cover, and kir is a wall. So one is stressing the word kir, one is stressing the word kirua. Okay, so Bishlam Laman Yomer was an aliyah. That explains why it says aliyah. It says aliyat kir. But according to Laman Yomer, it was an achsadra. Why is it called an aliyah? Aliyah doesn't have to mean a second story. Aliyah can mean the best. Aliyat kir means high quality, like making aliyah, mu'ula shebebatim. And she says to her husband, nasim lo sham mita v'shulchan v'kisei u'menorah, and let's furnish the room. Amar Rabbi Vitan Reb Yitzchak, you see from here that it's perfectly okay to take advantage of people's good. If they want you to be nene from them, at least she accepted this. Look, it was a tremendous amount of trouble she went to build an extra room onto her house and to furnish it for him, and he accepted it. Obviously, he repaid her and gave her a child. But harotzeh lehenot, yenek elisha, she'ino rotzeh lehenot. If you don't want to accept anything from anyone, you're allowed to. And it's not considered to be stuck up or something that causes a breakdown in relationships, because we see that Shmuel HaRamati did that. Shenemar uteshuvato haramata kisham beito. Why does it say kisham beito? Now look, you have to understand the pasuk before. The beginning of the pasuk goes, Vayami deshana bashana v'safav beit el v'hamitzpah v'shafat et Yisrael uteshuvato haramata kisham beito. So the question is, if it says, and he would get back at each year to the Ramah, so obviously that's why it says that's where he went back. I mean, we know that he used to live in Ramah. So why does it have to explain Kisham Beito? Therefore, we understand the word Kisham Beito to mean Kisham Beito as a reference to all of the places that we were talking about, Beit El, Mitzpah, wherever he went, he always had his Winnebago with him. So he would travel with all of his things in his camper. Anyway, that's the way the Rishonim are Masber. I must tell you, I have a pshat that I think is much nicer. I think the meaning is that Kisham Beito means, obviously it can't mean Kisham Beito in each one of those places was the house. It doesn't make sense. But the way to understand it is that if I need to mention to you that at the end of the year I come back to this place because that's my base, then what you're saying is that every place where you went was exactly the same. You brought that base with you. But where was the base of everything? Kisham Beito. The only reason I went back was not because that's the only place I could live. It's because that was the base of the home that I brought with me to all of these other places. That's the point. So the extra word makes it clear that it's a reference to how to view the other places in light of having a base like that. Okay, anyway, I think it's a beautiful pshat, but maybe I'm not explaining it well. So that means, shekol makom shehalach sham beto imo. So, vatomer el isha, the woman says to her husband, hinena yadati ki isha lo im kadoshu. I know that this guy is a tremendous kadosh. Omer of Yosef Rebbe Chanina, why did she have to say to her husband? Why couldn't her husband know that? Mikan shah isha makeret b'orchim yoter mina ish. Women are more intuitive and sensitive. Kadoshu. How does she know that he's kadosh? I mean, she can say he's a big tzaddik, whatever, but mino yada. Rav Shmuel, one says, whenever he ate, she saw that there were no flies that would come to where he was eating. What does that have to do with Kedusha? Because remember that feeding a Talmud Chacham is like bringing a korban on the Mizbeach. And when they brought korbanos on the Mizbeach, remember that one of the nisim in the Beis HaMikdash was that there were never flies. So Memela, if she saw that there were never flies where Shmuel ate, where she brought him to eat, it must be that he was eating on the Madrega of the Beis HaMikdash. He has that level of Kedusha. Or that's one approach. She saw he used to sleep in her house for a long time. She had these very white linens, and not once was there a stain on the linen. So it must be that he's a tremendous tzaddik, and he's never a tremendous kadosh, and he's never roya keri. When it says kadosh who, she is stressing who kadosh. He's very kadosh, but don't look at that guy with him. His talmud is no good. I'll tell you right now. And we know that that's true, because later on when Gehazi pushes her away, he manages to fondle her while he pushes her. Because when it says, Vaigash Gehazi lohodfa, that word lohodfa can be read as he grabbed her by her hod yafya, by the most beautiful part of her body, which is her breasts. Over alenu tamid, ombre desire bechanina mishum rebozo ben Yaakov. This teaches us that kol, what is a tamid? Tamid teaches us that kolamareach tabel chochem b'toch b'tob u'mahaneil mirechasav ma'aleh alav ha'katuv ki'ilu makrif tamid. It's as if he's bringing the korban tamid. V'yom Reb Yosef Rebbe Chanina Mishum Reb Ozer Bar Yaakov al yamod adam b'mokom gavoa v'yitpalel. Do not daven when you're standing on something that is high. Always stand b'mokom namoch, Because it says, "Mi ma'amakim karaticha Hashem," from the depths. Tanya nami ochi. Lo yamod adam lo agal b'kisei v'lo agal b'shrafraf v'lo b'mokom gavav yitpalel ela b'mokom namoch v'yitpalel. These, by the way, are two different dinim. You're not allowed to sit on an item, like a chair or a stool or something like that, no matter how low it is, because you're always afraid that you're near the edge and you're going to fall. You won't be able to concentrate. But you also should not stand on something that is not able to fall, such as a raised area, unless it's an area to itself. Obviously, if it's 4 amas by 4 amas, or if it has mechitzas by 10 tefachim, then it's a separate rishus. But not to stand on a smaller raised area if it's shalosh tefachim high. If it's a kli of some kind, kisei shrafraf, no matter how high it is, it's us. And why is this true? Lefisha in gavhut lifnei hamakom. There's no such thing as being uplifted in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You have to see yourself as an ani. Mimamakim karaticha Hashem, tvila la'ani ki atof. If you're davening, you have to put your feet together. Shenemar v'raglehem regal yishara. The malachim that Yechezkel saw on the Merkava were always, they looked like they had a single leg. Because when you spread your legs apart, it's as if you have a stance and you have legs to stand on. But when you're standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you need to show that the entirety of your hope and your ability to stand up is coming from Him. And you don't have the ability to spread your legs apart and to take a fighting stance. Don't eat on blood. What does that mean? It means it's merames. Do not eat in the morning before you have said Shmona Esrei to pray for your own life. Somebody who eats and drinks before davening, and then he decides to daven. You throw me after your own body. Read that not after your body, after your arrogance. All you think about is your comfort and yourself. Then when you're perfectly happy, now you can get around maybe to thinking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Le'achar shenitga'ezeh, after this guy is so arrogant, he takes care of himself. Now he's decided to be Mekabel Olav Malchus Shamayim. Disgusting. Now, because of this Lashon Malchus Shamayim, there are some who learn that if you were Mekabel Malchus Shamayim by saying Kriyat Shema, that then this issue doesn't apply. That's a Machlokas HaPoskim. And the psak is to be machmir like both, and to only eat after Shmon Esrei, unless the eating is necessary in order for you to be able to be mechav in your tefillah. Rabbi Yoshua Omer ad shalosh sha'ot, you could read Kriyat Shema until the end of a fourth of the day, 3 hours, of course, maniot. Omer Yiram Shmuel, that is how we paskin. Hakorei mikan ve'elech lo hifsid. Omer Chistom Amar Ukva, okay, you can read Kriyat Shema, but don't say Birchat Kriyat Shema anymore, because Birchat Kriyat Shema are linked to the Chiyuv of Kriyat Shema. So Bilvat Shelo Yomar Yotzer Or, you don't say Yotzer Or for learning Torah, do you? Meitve, Hakorei Mikan Ve'elech Lo Hifsi, Ke Adam Shu Korei BaTorah, Ava Mevarechu. He does say the Brachot, Shtayim Lefanea V'Yachat La'achareya, which completely wipes out what Rav Chisda said. Tiyuvta to Rav Chisda, Tiyuvta. So in fact, he does not lose the brachos. And there's even another lashon, Ikedi Amri, that Omer Chista Omer Marukva, my lo hifsid, when it says lo hifsid, I mean, obviously, what are you going to tell me? I'm not allowed to say Kriyat Shema some other time. I'm not allowed to read from the Torah. That's crazy. So what would be the whole point of saying lo hifsid? The point is that you were not mafsid the brachos, and you could still treat it in terms of the brachos as Kriyat Shema. And in this version, the tiyufta becomes a raya. Tanya Namiyachi, absolutely. Hakorei mikan ve'elech lo hifsid, ka'adam shekorei batorah, avu mevarechu shtayim lefaneha, ve'achat li'achareha. Omar Rabbi Moni, by the way, there's a big machlokas about until when this is true. So the pashtas is, it's true in terms of viewing Birchas Kriyashma as part of the takona of tefillah. So as long as you can say your Shmona Esrei, you can say your Birchas Kriyashma. But that would mean that you would only have until the end of the fourth hour. Unless, now there is a machlokas, we paskin that b'diavad, if you were an onus, you can daven even until chatzot. Now, if that's true, you could say Birchas Kriyat Shema also until chatzot. However, there's again a machlokas aposkin. Is this only if you were an onus, but if you did it on purpose, you absolutely cannot? And of course, how much is considered to be an onus? Each case needs to be decided on its own. The Rambam Shita is completely different. Unfortunately, we don't pass it that way, la halacha. The Rambam Shita is that Birkot Kriyat Shema are not linked neither to the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema nor to the mitzvah of Tefillah. They are a separate set of brachas, and therefore, if you miss Zman Kriyat Shema, you say Birkot Kriyat Shema all day long, which would be wonderful for all those late risers. But okay, we don't pass it like the Rambam.